بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الأنبياء وإمام الرسل سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. ويقول سبحانه: وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها. ويقول سبحانه: وكأي من دابة لا تحمل رزقها الله يرزقها وإياكم. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: والله لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري، رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his creation, and he decreed the provision and sustenance of each one of his creation. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum thumma razaqakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who has created you, and he has created the means to sustain and provide for you. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Then a time will come when he will give you death. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Then a time will come when he will resurrect you and bring you back to life. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of your Lord. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He who has created all of his creation, and he gave each one of his creation the form that he has given. He has created every creation with the proper and appropriate physique, and in accordance to their physique, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He has decreed and determined the sustenance and provision and the means of how to sustain all of his creation in accordance to the physique and nature that he has given them. فَهَدَى. And then he guided each one of his creation to their sustenance. How does a baby know that when it comes out of the womb of his mother, that its source and means of sustenance is the milk of its mother? How does a cow know that its source and means of sustenance is the green grass? How does a bird know that it has to fly to look for its sustenance? How does a fish know that it has to swim in the water, and in the water he will find his sustenance? وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah is that being who has determined and decreed the sustenance of all of his creation, and he guides each one of his creation to their sustenance. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not a single living creature treading on the earth but that its sustenance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the tafsir of this ayah, Mufti Shafi Uthmani Sahib rahimahullah in Ma'arif al-Qur'an, he mentions the following incident. He says that Musa alayhi salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that take your staff and hit the rock in front of you. And this is different than the story of Darbul Asa bil Hajar that is mentioned in the Quran. So Mufti Shafi Uthmani Sahib, under the tafsir of this ayah, he mentions that Musa alayhi salam was commanded, O Musa, this rock and boulder that is in front of you, hit it with your staff. After he hit it, this rock, it split open, and inside this rock was another rock. And then he was commanded, hit this rock again. The rock split open, and another rock came out from it. he was commanded again, hit this rock, and then the rock split open and a third rock came out from it. And then he was commanded, O Musa alayhi salam, hit the rock again. The rock split open, and inside the rock was a small living creature with a green leaf in its mouth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He arranges for the sustenance and provision of all of His creation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Razzaq. Razzaq is that being who creates sustenance, and He creates the means for the provision and sustenance to reach all of His creation, whether we understand it or not. There is not a single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose sustenance and provision that He has decreed for him will not reach him. And no person will die until he has completely gotten all of the provision and sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. Inna nafsan lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqaha. No soul will die until it has completely received all of the sustenance and provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. So long as there is a single morsel of food that is decreed to go in the stomach of someone, he will not die. And whatever sustenance and provision is meant for one person will not go to another person. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِيَكَ. This is one of the advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to his cousin Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma when he was sitting behind him in his riding camel. كُنْتُ رِدْفَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And one of the advices he gave to him is, know that what has missed you was never going to reach you, and whatever reached you was never going to miss you. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to famously say, I am content knowing that what is meant for me will never miss me, and whatever missed me was never meant for me. So this is the meaning of al-ridha bil-qada, and this is the meaning of al-qana'atu bil-rizq, to be content with whatever provision and sustenance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to a person. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ إِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. True richness does not lie in possessing a lot of wealth. The real richness is the richness of the heart. That means a person is content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the dunya darul asbab. This is the reason why a person has to go out and seek his sustenance. This is in accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. So even when the Salatul Jumu'ah concludes, oh my believers, disperse in the land and seek out the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you seek the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure that you seek out only halal. This is the reason why in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. So in this hadith, there is indication that seeking out a halal livelihood is also a fariḍah, is an obligation, just like how praying five times salah is fard, fasting in the month of Ramadan is fard, giving zakah, if zakah is fard upon someone, doing hajj if it becomes fard. Likewise, seeking out a halal income and a halal living, this is also fariḍatun min al-fara'id. And in this hadith, there's indication that just as a person will be rewarded ibadatan for doing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he fulfills his religious obligations of performing salah and these other acts of worship, to go out every day seeking out a halal sustenance to take care of oneself and one's family, he will get the same reward. This is the beauty of our deen. So even when someone does something that is mundane, he does it in accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will get the same reward as if he is in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. And in the other hadith, there's another indication too. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. In it is indication that you should not become so engrossed in earning a livelihood that you forget your religious obligations, that you don't look at what is halal and haram, you forget to pray salah, and you forget the real purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, and that is to worship Him and obey Him and to live your life in a manner that He is pleased with you. And then in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِنُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. When no single soul will die until he has completely received all of his sustenance, thus fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt a beautiful manner in searching for your sustenance. And what is the beautiful manner? Talabul halal, to earn halal. ولا يحملنكم استبطاء الرزق أن تطلبوه بمعاصي الله فإنه لا يدرك ما عند الله إلا بطاعته. A small amount of halal is far better than an excessive amount of haram. قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and every reader of this book, every reader of the Quran, say what is impure, what is haram, and what is pure and halal, they can never be equal. Even if the abundance of what is impure and haram amazes you. So what will cause a person to give preference to halal over haram, to give preference to tayyib over khabith? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. It is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is taqwa. So, the intelligent ones, those who are truly intelligent in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not those who are deemed intelligent in the eyes of the people of the dunya, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving preference to halal over haram, by giving preference to tayyib over khabith, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that perhaps you may attain success in the dunya and akhirah. الْفَلَاحُ هُوَ النَّجَاحُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ جَمِيعًا. The Mufassirin say there is no word in the Arabic language that encompasses all true forms of success in the dunya and akhirah than the word falah. This is the reason why this word is used profusely in the Quran. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. This is the ultimate outcome of the muttaqeen mentioned in the beginning of Surah Baqarah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The ultimate outcome of haram and khabith is always khasara, loss and harm. And the ultimate good outcome only belongs to taqwa. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْتَّقْوَىٰ أي وَالْعَاقِبَةُ الْمَحْمُودَةُ لِلْتَّقْوَىٰ. The only praiseworthy outcome always belongs to taqwa and the people of taqwa. Thus, do not cause the delayance of your sustenance reaching you. Do not cause it to entice you to seek out the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His obedience. Rather, be content with whatever little Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, so long as it is halal. And the delaying of the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not let this entice you to seek out His provision through haram means. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. Because what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ay min al-barakah. What is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning blessing in one's wealth, this cannot be attained and achieved but through His obedience. So whatever provision and sustenance a person received through ma'asiyah, through the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is a lot, there will be no blessing in it. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the disbelievers, who after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send them reminders by afflicting them with difficulties, but yet they did not change and they continued upon their disobedience. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. When they forgot the advice through which they were reminded upon the tongue of the messengers of Allah عليهم الصلاة والسلام, and through the holy scriptures that were sent to them, فَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So instead of us punishing them for their disobedience and disbelief, we did the opposite. So the zahir and apparent is that we are doing something that is good for them, but this is not the reality. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. When this happened, we opened upon them the doors of all things. That means we gave them abundance of wealth, good health. Everything that a person in the dunya desires, we gave to them. So what is important here is the word abwaba. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. There is no mention of barakah. So from this we learn that if a person, he gets any bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through disobedience, this doesn't mean that Allah ta'ala is happy with him, but rather this is a sign of the maqt and the ghadab, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. Whereas in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to the sending down of barakat upon iman and taqwa. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of all towns were to believe and adopt taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would surely open upon them blessings from the heavens and the earth. From this we learn that whatever small amount a person achieves, so long as it is through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will have barakah in it. And on the day of judgment, a person will not be asked regarding how much income he had. He will be asked two questions regarding his wealth. One is, where did you earn your wealth from, and where did you spend it? Did you earn it through halal means or through haram means? And did you spend your wealth in my obedience or in my disobedience? In the famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the feet of the son of Adam will not be able to move on the day of judgment until he is asked four questions. لا تزال قدم ابن آدم أي قدم ابن آدم. So قدم ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن علمه ماذا عمل به. So the first question is regarding your life. How did you spend it? Did you spend it in my obedience or in my disobedience? Second question regarding one's youth. Did you spend it in my obedience or in my disobedience? So this second question is actually included in the first question, because a person's youth is a stage of the entire life. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will specifically ask regarding this, because a person has the strength and ability to do when he is young that which he does not have ability to do when he is old. This is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a hadith, he mentioned that seven people will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade other than the shade of Allah. And one of those individuals is رَجُلٌ شَابٌ or شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ, that young person who was raised in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he spent his youth and the prime of his youth, when he had the ability to use it for wrong things, he used his youth and the prime of his youth for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this he will be rewarded. The third question, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ. This is question number 3 and 4. Where did you earn your wealth from and where did you spend it? Did you earn your wealth through halal means or haram means? And where did you spend your wealth? Was it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or was it in his disobedience? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask a person, kam iktasabtahu, how much money did you earn? This is not important in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally the fourth question, wa an ilmihi madha amila bihi, and regarding the knowledge that you had of the deen, how much did you practice upon? After mentioning this hadith, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu used to say, from all of the questions that will be asked, I fear the fourth one the most. And then he used to say, تَعَلَّمُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ, learn as much as you want, only that much of knowledge will benefit you, that which you practice upon. So one is adopting the means to attain sustenance, and we make sure that it is through halal means. So this is as far as the dunyawi asbab are considered. But one thing we often neglect is we don't look for the spiritual asbab, the a'mal that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us for to fulfill our dunyawi needs. This is more important. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice was he would always resort first to the a'mal and then he would adopt the dunyawi means. And this was the practice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. Whenever any matter faced Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would first resort to salah. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, they have given us Quranic prescriptions and prophetic prescriptions to attain barakah in our sustenance. So one prescription of barakah in one sustenance is to pray salah. We learn this from the ayah in the Quran. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. Command your family members to pray salah, and you yourself force yourself to be patient and persevere in establishing the salah. Because if you yourself do not pray salah and you are commanding your family members to pray salah, it's not going to be effective. So even if you don't feel like it, force yourself to pray and be patient. وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And do not think by praying 5 times a day that this will affect your sustenance. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. When a person practices the deen, this doesn't mean that now his dunya will become difficult. La nas'aluka rizqa nahnu narzuquk. We do not ask you for any sustenance when we command you to worship us. We're not asking anything from you. When you do any service, you expect something in return. This is not how we operate. We are commanding you to pray to us, not because you are benefiting us and causing any benefit to us. You cannot give any benefit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for your own benefit. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. We are the ones who give you provision and sustenance. Through the barakah of salah, we will give barakah in your sustenance. So the first Quranic prescription is salah. Second Quranic prescription is taqwa. And taqwa means to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from his disobedience. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. So that person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he adopts a life of taqwa, a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoidance from his disobedience, يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him from every difficulty, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for him and give him sustenance from avenues and in ways that he does not even expect. This is the barakah of taqwa. And the third Quranic prescription is istighfar, to constantly seek forgiveness for our sins from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person is deprived from sustenance sometimes because of the sins that he is committing. So we learn this from a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقَ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ. Sometimes a person is deprived of sustenance because of the sins that he is committing. So that's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the story of Nuh alayhi salam, في سورة نوح, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Seek forgiveness from your Lord. Indeed, He is the all-forgiving being. By the barakah of istighfar, He will send down upon you rain in abundance, which is the cause of life for everything that we see around us. You will not experience any drought, which will then lead to a shortage of fruits and vegetation and produce. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ, and He will assist you and aid you and strengthen you through your children and your wealth. So from this we also learn that istighfar is the Quranic prescription for also having barakah in one's children and one's offspring. And He will assign for you rivers, and He will assign for you gardens. So through istighfar, a person will increase barakah in his wealth, inshallah. So the three Quranic prescriptions are salah, taqwa, and istighfar. And now three prophetic prescriptions for barakah in one's wealth. Number one is silatul rahim, sila rahmi, to join family ties. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ وَيُبَارَكَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. He who wants to live a long life and have barakah in his wealth, he should join family ties. So from this we learn that by doing sila rahmi and joining family ties, a person will have barakah not only in his wealth but also in his life. This is the prophetic prescription for having barakah in one's life and in one's wealth. And we learned this from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much he joined family ties. Second prophetic prescription for barakah in one's wealth is to recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah in the night. مَنْ قَرَأَ الْوَاقِعَةَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ لَمْ تُصِبْهُ الْفَاقَةُ أَبَدًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night, poverty and need will never afflict him. The famous dua that we read in the morning and evening, which is from the prophetic du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. We recite this three times. The narrator of this hadith is Abu Darda radiyallahu an. So in the books of hadith it is mentioned that after the Fajr Salah, someone informed him that his house got burnt. So he said, I forgot to read this dua. This is the reason why this happened. Because it is not possible that I read this dua three times and anything and any harm afflicts me. Because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, Whoever recites this three times in the morning and in the evening, no difficulty will afflict him, no harm will afflict him. It is not possible that I recite this dua and some harm comes to me. I did not read this dua. This is the reason why this happened. So one important etiquette that we should remember when we are practicing upon the ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ or any Quranic verse, we have to have full yaqeen that this is what will happen. So if we read Surah Al-Waqi'ah with the yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not afflict us with poverty due to the barakah of reciting this surah in the Quran, because this is the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith, then it will never afflict us, inshallah. This is the second prophetic prescription. Third prophetic prescription are those ad'iya nabawiyya ma'thura, are those prophetic supplications that are mentioned in the books of hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would read. And every dua that Rasulullah read is directly wahi, divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no dua that will be more effective than the du'as that are revealed in the Quran and was said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because these ad'iyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are also min jawami'il kalim. They are among the comprehensive words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in his du'as, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam encompassed everything of the goodness of the dunya and akhirah. So one prophetic practice that we find of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in his Musnad, is that after the Fajr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite three times, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa amalan mutaqabbala. Oh Allah, I ask you of beneficial knowledge, that knowledge that brings one close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرِزْقًا وَاسِعًا وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا, and pure halal rizq and sustenance, وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا, and the tawfiq to do such good actions that are accepted in his court. Because if a person does a good action but it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is useless. So this is one dua. Another dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made is, Allahumma ja'al ghina'ana fi anfusina wa barik lana fi ma razaqtana. O Allah, grant us ghina, and richness in our hearts. That means make us content with whatever you have given us, and do not make us greedy, and do not make us impatient, and do not cause us to object to your decree, but rather make us happy and satisfied with your distribution. And grant us barakah in whatever sustenance you have given us. So these are the three prophetic prescriptions for barakah in one's sustenance. And then finally, we should remember that in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about rizq, it is not only confined to wealth. So this is a misconception that sometimes we have, or we don't understand what is the true meaning of rizq. So we often restrict it only to wealth and possessions. كُلُّ مَا أَعْطَاكَ اللَّهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ فَهُوَ رِزْقٌ فَهُوَ رِزْقٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Every ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to a person, external, internal, dunyawi and dini, is all a rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever ni'mah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whether it be in the form of wealth, good health, intelligence, energy, talent, skill, whatever Allah ta'ala has given us, we should use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah Ta'ala alludes to in the Quran as one of the qualities of the muttaqeen, when he says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they expend of whatever bounties we have given them as provision, they expend of it in my obedience and in my paths. This is ma mawsula amma. So it refers to all of the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us of good health, intelligence, talent, skills, energy, intellect. We should use all of this for the deen of Allah ta'ala, inshallah. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to have full yaqeen that He is al-Razzaq and to turn towards Him at all times. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives barakah in our wealth and in all of our matters, inshallah. And then finally, from the name of al-Razzaq, because تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, to inculcate the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. So whoever fully encompasses these 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by bringing iman on them and practicing upon His dictates and by inculcating those qualities. So how can we inculcate the sifat al-razaqiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the means of sustenance for His creation and He causes it to reach them. Likewise, we should also try to become the means for the sustenance of others reaching them. This is how we can inculcate the sifat al-razaqiyat in us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. So long as a person is in the assistance and in the servants of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in his assistance and in his service. So we should try our best to also become of help and assistance so that we can become a means for the sustenance and provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaching others without becoming arrogant and boasting about the favors that we are doing. Rather, we should do this only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will see the reward of it on the Day of Judgment. Imam Zainul Abideen rahimahullah was the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was the son of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu an. During his lifetime, he was accused of being a miser. So the people used to accuse him that you are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your entire family is known for generosity, but you are not living up to the name of your grandfather and your father. You are such a bakhil. When he passed away, hundreds of widows and orphans and poor families attended his janazah. This is when everyone found out that he was taking care of all of these families, but no one knew about it. So how did this happen? He used to cover his face at night and drop off food and clothes for them, and then he would run away so that no one knew that he was doing this action except for those families that he was taking care of. This is the reason why the famous Sha'ir Farazdaq, he said, he compiled a long qasida in praise of Imam Zainul Abideen rahimahullah, and he said that this is the great personality that the Hil and the Haram, all of these places that he walked by, they knew how great he was. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us a means of help and assistance to others, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So inshallah, now we can go downstairs for food, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.